Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Paramahansa Sutra Sata Sri Srimad Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan BBB Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Vishnupada Paramahansa Paravatikacharya Sutra Sata Sri Srimad Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Ananta Kodi Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasiddhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shamakunda Radhakunda Giri Gopadan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadeep Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Ganga Jamuna Maya Ki Jai Tulasi Devi Mahadani Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories. Devaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 3, Status Quo, Chapter 19, The Killing of the Demon Hiranyaksha. And we're going to be doing texts 15 and 16. And 16 has more substantial purport, and also the Sanskrit is easier. So I'll chant 15 myself, and we'll chant 16 together. Okay? Rikne swasule bahudarina hade pratyetya vishtirnam uru vibhutimat pravrida roshasa katora mushtina nadan pralityantar had hiyatashura. Translation. The demon was enraged when his trident was cut to pieces by the discus of the personality of Godhead. He therefore advanced toward the Lord and, roaring aloud, struck his hard fist against the Lord's broad chest, which bore the mark of Srivatsa. Then he went out of sight. Purport. Srivatsa is a curl of white hair on the chest of the Lord, which is a special sign of his being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Vaikuntha Loka, or in Goloka Vrindavan, the inhabitants are exactly of the same form as the personality of Godhead. But by this Srivatsa mark on the chest of the Lord, he is distinguished from all others. Okay, so text 16. Tateham ahatashatar. Tateham ahata shatar Bhagavan Adi Sukaraha Bhagavan Adi Sukaraha Nakampata Manakwapi Nakampata Manakwapi Shrajahata Iva Dvipa. Shrajahata Iva Dvipa. Tanetham Tanetham Ahata Shatar. Bhagavan Adi Sukaraha. Nakampata Manakwapi. Shrajahata Iva Dvipaha. Vaishnavis. Tena by Hiranyaksha Itam thus Ahataha struck Shataha O Vidura Bhagavan the Supreme Personality of Godhead Adisukara the first boar Na Akampata did not feel quaking. Manak, even slightly. Kwa api, anywhere. Sraja, by a garland of flowers. Hataha, struck. Iva, as. Dvipaha, an elephant. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Hit in this manner by the demon, O Vidura, the Lord, who had appeared as the first boar, did not feel the least quaking in any part of his body, any more than an elephant would when struck with a wreath of flowers. Purport. As previously explained, the demon was originally a servitor of the Lord in Vaikuntha, but somehow or other he fell as a demon. His fight with the Supreme Lord was meant for his liberation. The Lord enjoyed the striking of his transcendental body, just like a fully grown-up father fighting with his child. Sometimes a father takes pleasure in having a mock fight with his small child, And similarly, the Lord felt Hiranyaksha's striking on his body to be like flowers offered for worship. In other words, the Lord desired to fight in order to enjoy his transcendental bliss. Therefore, he enjoyed the attack. Om Gina Temaranda Sha Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So years ago, in a class he gave, Suraprabhu quoted a passage from a song that was popular maybe in the 70s, I think. The group was called The Animals, and the title of the song is, We Gotta Get Out of This Place. And the popular refrain was, We gotta get out of this place, if it's the last thing we ever do. We gotta get out of this place. And he paraphrased, Prabhu, there's a better life for me and you. And truer words have never been spoken. We gotta get out of this place. It is crazy. This place, this material world is insane. And I'm going to give an example and break it down to make it perfectly clear why I think I'm making a correct statement. What's going on in the Middle East? I'll just jump in there and grab the proverbial bull by the horn. That is insane, okay? Somebody might think, the problem is these Arab people, it's like a racial hatred. It's been going on for, generations and generations. They just... they don't even recognize that Israel is a state or a country, has a right to be there. That's the problem. People might be thinking like that. Other people might be thinking, no, the problem is the Jewish people. The problem is that they're just not, they haven't been there for thousands of years. Okay, they got plunked in there after World War II by some arrangement by the Allied who won the war, but they hadn't been there for thousands of years. There's another culture there, another group of people there, and they haven't been sensitive enough to their culture and their rights and like that. That's the problem. Well, no, neither is the problem. But both those might seem like the problem, but neither is actually the problem. Just like in philosophy, they have this idea that there's an immediate cause and a remote cause. The actual cause is the remote cause. I'll give an example, okay? This is a Prabhupada's example, okay? Thank you. Prabhupada's example. Yeah. Okay, you walk into a classroom, and you see there's these two boys in front of the class, and they each are holding each other's ear. One boy is holding this boy's ear, and that boy is holding this boy's ear, and they're pulling each other's ear, and one is kicking and punching and trying to grab the other guy to bite him, and they're really like in a full-on fight. And somebody might think, well, it's his fault. Or, the cause is that this guy started pulling this guy's ear, so he's just retaliating. And some other student says, no, it was because he pulled his ear, and he's that's not the cause. It seems, superficially, like that's the problem, that this one started, and this one is escalating, and then this one is retaliating, and back. No, what really happened, the background story is that both these students were very badly misbehaved in the class, and the teacher, being very clever, devised this method to discipline them. These were two very misbehaved students. They were disrupting the class and being very disturbing and offensive. So the teacher said, okay, you two boys, come up here. Stand up in the front of the class. You hold his ear. And you hold his ear. And then he told the one boy, okay, now you pull his ear. And as soon as the first boy pulled the second boy's ear, the second boy naturally pulled back the first boy's ear, and then there's a whole big fight. And they were just punishing each other. They are fighting and punishing each other. The real cause was, neither one was the other one's enemy, really. The real cause was why they were in that situation where they're just punishing each other is because they were so misbehaved in the class. And the teacher made this arrangement for them to punish each other. That's what's going on here in the material world. That's what's actually going on here in the material world. That people are, they think the problem is, the blacks. The problem is the whites. The problem is the men. The problem is, no. These are all superficial. The problem is Krishna Bahir Mukha Boga Vanchakade Maya Tade Japa. How's it go? Nikatishta, Mayatari, Japatiyadari. That's the problem. The problem is Krishna Bahirmukha. The living entity, the jiva, has turned his face away from Krishna. We're not supposed to do that. We're eternal servants of Krishna. We're supposed to be in sync with Krishna's desires. But free will is there. The living entities have turned their face away from Krishna. Krishna Bahirmukha, Bhoga Vanchakari, looking at sense gratification, desiring sense gratification. Nikatishta, Maya Tare, Japatiya Dari. And then the result of that is that Maya, just like a police force, you know, comes and tackles or grabs. Japatiya, you know, grabs them and tackles them down. Just like if somebody decides, okay, I'm not going to be a law-abiding citizen anymore. I'll earn my living by robbing cars or something like that, or attacking people on the street and robbing them. So he's doing that, and then as soon as he starts to do that, theoretically speaking, it doesn't happen much these days because there's not much enforcement. But the police are there. The police are there, and when they see this guy trying to rob these people in broad daylight, the police are there, and the sirens go off, and the guy gets arrested. And then he arrested, goes to jail, goes to court, and gets put away. So that's what's really going on. That's the analogy. The same way, the souls here in the material world, they turn their back, they turn their face away from Krishna, that's metaphoric, but which practically speaking means they're neglecting the Vedic injunctions. There's a way that the soul in the human body is supposed to behave. There's a way that the soul and the human body is supposed to behave in this human form of life. And it's been there. It's called Sanatana Dharma. And it's been around for a long time. And then when you neglect that, you pay a price. If you neglect that, you pay a price. And that's, Nikatishta, Mayatari, Chapati, Maya is there to grab you and teach you a lesson. And she will take on you, and she'll take on... Actually, and nobody, unlike here in the material world, you can get away with a crime. But in existentially speaking, you can't get away with a crime against the material energy. Maya is all-powerful. And anybody, any living entity that, to the degree that they become averse to following the Vedic directions, Sanatana Dharma, to that degree, Maya will... get them and punish them. She will make a monkey out of somebody, both figuratively and literally, individually and collectively. You see? So you don't want to... And that's what's happening here in the material world now. I was going to make this point earlier, but I'll make it now. Why this is insanity? Okay. People are intelligent. Human beings are intelligent. I mean, look, here I am. I'm talking. This is a microphone. Man, you have to be clever to make one of these things. I don't have a clue how to make a microphone. I don't have a clue how to even make a Vyasasan or anything. I mean, people are intelligent. Look at the stuff they've come up with and how we live, right? So it's obvious that human beings have got like a ton of intelligence. Why can't they just work it out? You think it just seems like what? How come people can't just... people are so clever in so many different ways. How come they just can't sit down and work out the problems? You see? Because the problems aren't the problems. See? What we're thinking is the problem. You don't like me. I don't like you. No. The real problem is this. The real problem lies in their relationship with Krishna, or their lack of a proper relationship with Krishna. That's the real problem. And so what's happening is, because the souls, the conditioned souls in the material world, are turning their face away from Krishna, so Maya bewilders their intelligence. Maya is causing them to, get into these conflicts. It's a form of punishment. Now, even in the Bible, there's some sort of passage like that about the Tower of Babel. Something I can't remember it though, but it's along the same lines. So anyway, so that's what's going on here in the material world. And, here's another, an analogy to help understand it a bit more. Elaborate that point. Imagine, you know, here in the material world, this, we're living in like a graded universe. We're in the middle planetary system, Bhuloka. Below is different hellish planets, Atala, Talatala, Malhatala. You know, I can't remember the names of all of them. There's, I think there's seven altogether. And above, there's Bhuvarloka. Above Bhuvarloka is Swargaloka. Then above Swargaloka, there's Maharloka, Jnanaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, these higher planets. So, and as you go higher, the residents there are progressively more situated in the mode of goodness. So let's take, for just for argument's sake, some people from Brahmaloka decided to just go on a little vacation, and they came here as tourists. They came here to Earth planet as tourists, and they're, you know, because people in Brahmaloka are highly enlightened. They're the most enlightened of all the different people throughout the universe, generally speaking, most fully situated in the mode of goodness. And they were observing what's going on here. What would their reaction be upon coming to Earth and observing what's going on? I think they would be going, oh, wow, what is this? What's such a shame? Why are these people, they're all the same? Why are they fighting with each other? They're just fighting with each other and causing each other all sorts of difficulty. Why don't they just chill out and cooperate and you know, do something to help themselves get elevated so they can have a better situation in their next life? And they'd be absolutely correct in that analysis. That's what should be happening. You know, that's what should be happening. Human beings should be living cooperatively and trying to, that's what Vanashrama is all about. You know, you cooperate and you try to follow the directions and the Vedic injunctions that will help us get elevated to a higher situation in our next life, and ideally to get out of the cycle of birth and death and go back to Godhead. But unfortunately, that's not what's happening. So we have to understand that people today are really, we're living in Kali Yuga, you know, and the Bhagavatam in the first canto, towards the end of the first chapter, there's a verse. I don't remember the whole verse. I apologize. But there's one phrase where it goes, Kalim Sattva Haram Pumsam, which means that Kali Yuga destroys all the good qualities of a human being. Not some. All of them. Completely. Now, and here's a verse. I found this yesterday where I was reading the 11th canto. And I found this verse about, the chapter was the three modes of material nature. And I thought this was interesting. So this is Krishna speaking to Uddhava. He says, when a person worships me by his prescribed duties with the hope of gaining material benefit, his nature should be understood to be in passion. And one who worships me with a desire to commit violence against others is in ignorance. Now, what I noted, what caught my attention was this idea that Krishna is saying, one who worships me with the desire to commit violence against others is in ignorance. So as far as Krishna's concerned, a person who's worshiping him with a desire to commit violence to others is in ignorance. What to speak of a person who's not even worshiping him? I mean, if a person is worshiping him and desiring to commit violence to others is in ignorance, what to speak of a person who's not worshiping him? Really ignorant. I mean, that's my analysis. You know, and people today, they're not worshiping Krishna. We're just deeply in ignorance. You know, ignorance is not just like one, ignorance, that's it. It's not like just one position. There's ignorance, and there's more ignorance, and there's more. We're deeply in ignorance in the Kali Yuga. You know, I mean, really deep. So, what is the corrective? Well, that brings us to today's verse. This is the corrective. The corrective is to hear these pastimes of Krishna. You know, this is actually the solution to the whole problem. As I mentioned earlier, I quoted that verse, Krishna Bahir Mukha Bhogavan. The living entity has turned his face away from Krishna, so we have to turn our face back towards Krishna. And the process of turning our face back towards Krishna is devotional service, and devotional service consists of nine processes. And basically, it's Krishna trying to give us a chance. I think in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there's a verse, Yajgyat va na punar mohan evam yasya shipandava yena bhutani asheshani drakshasyatmani atomai. Krishna speaking, and he says, when you have learned the truth, you'll know that all living beings are part and parcel of me, and they're mine. So basically, if you think about that and you analyze that, what's being said there is we're Krishna's spiritual offspring. We're all part of Krishna's spiritual family. Krishna's the supreme spiritual father. We're all like the supreme, not supreme, we're all spiritual children. Krishna is the supreme, is like the supreme good guy. Krishna's not happy that we, his spiritual children, some of his spiritual children, are here in the material world in deep illusion suffering. He's not happy about that. He's not happy about that. And so consequently, he's doing things. You know, he's doing things to try to help us get back. You see? And some of those, and among those things that he's doing to help us get back is he's displaying these pastimes, such as like what we're hearing about today. This is Krishna displaying a pastime. I mean, it says in today's verse, the Lord desired to fight in order to enjoy his transcendental bliss. Therefore, he enjoyed the attack. Yeah, that's there. He's just enjoying himself. But in the process of enjoying himself, he's got other, you know, purposes as well. And one of those purposes is to do things that will attract the attention of the conditioned souls to help them, you know, reestablish their relationship with him. The deities. This is Krishna's mercy. You know, Krishna's coming in the form of the deity, so we could see him because we can't see spirit, but we can see matter. And this Krishna's made it so the deity is non-different from him. The holy name, that's also Krishna. So Krishna's kind of like bending over backwards to try to help us come back to the spiritual world. And so, you know, we have to cooperate. We have to cooperate. And that's a little easier said than done. There's a verse. See, what is the problem? The problem is, actually, Lord Chaitanya said the problem in the Shashastra. He said, Durdaiva Midri Sami Hajani Nanuraga. That's the problem. Lord Chaitanya said, Nam Namakadi Bahuda Nijasarva Shaktis Tatar Pita Niyamatas Smarane Nakala Etadrasi Tava Kripa Bhagavan Mamapi Durdaivam Idri Sami Ihajni Nanarag. Lord Chaitanya as a devotee, you know, he's Krishna as a devotee. He's acknowledging, my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction. Sure. Your holy name alone, thank you, can render all benediction to the living beings. And thus you have hundreds and millions of names. And in these transcendental names you have invested all your transcendental energies. Any one of these names can deliver a person. But he says, but I am so unfortunate, I have no attraction for them. You see? So that's our Lord Chaitanya is being one of us. He's presenting himself as, you know, an ordinary person. I have no attraction for him. So why don't we have any attraction? You know, Krishna's doing all these things to help us, you know, get on board, so to speak. And what's the problem? Well, that's described in the Nectar of Instruction in text number 7. Prabhupada says in the purport there, the holy name of Lord Krishna, his quality, pastimes, and so forth, are all of the nature of absolute truth, beauty, and bliss. Naturally, they are very sweet, like sugar candy, which appeals to everyone. Nescience, however, is compared to the disease called jaundice, which is caused by bilious secretions. Attacked by jaundice, the tongue of a diseased person cannot palatably relish sugar candy. Rather, a person with jaundice considers something sweet to taste very bitter. Avidya, ignorance, similarly, this is the point. This is the reason why we have initially a problem with devotional service. Avidya, ignorance, similarly perverts the ability to relish the transcendentally palatable name, quality, form, and pastimes of Krishna. Despite this disease, and here's the remedy. Okay, we have that disease to greater and lesser degrees. I mean, you know, despite this disease, if one with great care and attention takes to Krishna consciousness, chanting the holy name and hearing Krishna's transcendental pastimes, like we're doing today, of Krishna, despite this disease, if one, oh yeah, sorry about that. And hearing Krishna's transcendental pastimes, his ignorance will be destroyed and his tongue enabled to taste the sweetness of the transcendental nature of Krishna and his paraphernalia. In other words, your consciousness gets purified. Just do it, they say. If we commit to the process, chanting, hearing the pastimes, you know, doing all the different things that Prabhupada has given us to do, our consciousness will get purified, and gradually we will develop a higher taste by the mercy of Krishna. What's that verse? Vishayava nivartante nihahara shadehina rasavarjama sopiyasya padam drishtva nivartate. That the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment. In other words, we might not have any taste for this, but the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he becomes fixed in consciousness. In other words, when you engage in the process, you become you become cured of the disease. Your consciousness becomes purified, and as our consciousness becomes purified, we will experience proportionately this higher taste, this padam drishva, which will enable us to just, you know, move forward, very advance in Krishna, in devotional service. So let's see if there's anything else here I had. Yeah, so we have to work at it, you know, because our default position is in this material world is to be envious. Unfortunately, that's the default position of the conditioned soul. I'll give a couple examples to illustrate that point. I remember as a young person growing up, you know, I used to play a lot of sports and with my friends, and there was one friend. This guy, his name was Jackie Kaufman. Actually, he was a really good guy. He was just always the best. He was the best student. He was the best athlete. He was the best looking. He was just always the best. And it was hard to swallow. You know, because everybody's competitive. We're all competing. Each, you know, all the different friends were trying to compete to be the best at this sport or school or with, you know, relationships. But he was always the best, and it was really hard to swallow. And I found myself sometimes just ignoring him altogether. Just, you know, I couldn't handle it. How he was always the hero. He was always the guy who hit the home run with the bases loaded, and, you know, et cetera. Intercepted a pass and ran it in for the touchdown to win the game or whatever. Somehow it just always worked out that he was the best, and he was like the hero. And it's like, oh my God, give me a break. But you got to give credit what credit's due. The solution isn't to just ignore the person altogether. That's what, kind of like what we've done with Krishna. Krishna is so good. Krishna is so glorious. And being envious of Krishna, we just kind of like, no, I can't handle it. Let me go someplace where I don't have to worry about it. Think about Krishna. Where I don't have to be confronted with how wonderful Krishna is. It's like, ah. You see? So we have to, that's once you get conditioned by the material energy, that's the default psychology. Even an example last night, small example how it works. After I prepared for the class, I decided, okay, I'll relax a little bit. So to relax, I went on the computer and I typed in Srila Prabhupada, George Harrison. I like George Harrison. And of course I like Srila Prabhupada. So I listened to the conversation between Prabhupada and George Harrison. It was one in 1973. There's a couple of them. The one in 1973, Prabhupada, he did a certain amount of preaching to George Harrison. I kind of thought, wow, that's good. But the one in 1976 was kind of real lackluster. You know, it was Prabhupada was here. He was at the manor, and they were, you know, just kind of making casual conversation. They were obviously feeding him, George, you know, having lunch together. But I was, you know, I listened for about a half hour, and I was thinking, man, I'm not impressed, you know. I mean, I'm not impressed by Prabhupada's. And but I felt uncomfortable thinking like that. So I was thinking like that, and I couldn't. It just only went that far. This morning I was leading Mangalarti, and it, you know, popped into my head again how, wow, you know, I wasn't very impressed by Prabhupada's interaction with George Harrison in 1976. And I sort of prayed to the deities at the same time. Well, what's going on? How do I understand that? And immediately something came to my mind. Krishna came to my rescue. He said, do you remember in the conversation it was mentioned that one week earlier was the Rath Yatra in New York City. The very first, in 1976, was the first Rath Yatra in New York City. And you know, then after that, the Prabhupada with the devotees went to London. And I remembered, oh, wait a second. That Rath Yatra, because I was there at that Rath Yatra. Prabhupada didn't start the Rath Yatra with the devotees. Prabhupada was not well. Prabhupada was not well. We started the Rath Yatra up at 59th and Central Park, 59th and Central Park.
And we went all the way down. Prabhupada joined the parade someplace down around 34th Street or something like that. They drove him in a car. He wasn't well. See, so they drove him in the car, and he caught the parade down just before it was going to get into Washington Square Park, or you know, shortly before that. And he, you know, they helped him, and he sat on the cart. He didn't walk with the parade. He sat on the cart. So, you know, he wasn't well at all. And so then I realized, oh, I'm just being too critical, you know? I mean, Prabhupada was, just a week before, Prabhupada was feeling so unwell that he had to be driven to join the parade and then sit on the cart. And, you know, it's amazing that he's even entertaining George Harrison at all. See, so in other words, the point is, we have to work at not being envious. You know, it doesn't come natural. We have to work at not being envious. And actually, it's such an important lesson, it's such an important point, that Lord Chaitanya, actually, Krishna came to teach it himself. Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna coming as a devotee to teach people how to be a devotee. Well, that's just another way of saying to teach people how not to be envious of Krishna. Because once you're not envious of Krishna, you're a devotee. You see? So Lord Chaitanya is coming and teaching by his own example. Krishna's coming and teaching by his own example as Lord Chaitanya how not to be envious of him, how to be his devotee. So, as I said, it's an important point, and it's something we have to work at. And just to wrap it up, it's actually something that's deserving of the vast majority of our focus, of our attention. We shouldn't be having we shouldn't be allowing a lot of our attention to be absorbed in like current events. Why? Well, a couple of reasons why. One, you can't do anything about it. You know, say I spent like 95% of my awareness thinking about following the situation in the Middle East. How's that going to change anything? What's the benefit? I'm only getting absorbed in some mundane thing, you see? No, better we should use the vast majority of our time, energy, focus, attention on how to advance in devotional service, how not to be envious of Krishna, how to be favorably engaged in devotional service. Why? That's explained in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam chajate ante kalevaram tam tam eveti konteya sadatad bhava bhavita. That whatever state of being you remember at the time of death, that's where you're going. That's what that determines your next life. You see? So knows we're the architects of our own destiny. So it's in our own best interest to put a lot of effort into becoming, getting absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And if we're able to successfully do that, then Krishna says, Antakale chamameva smadam mukva kalevaram yat prayati samat bhavam yati nasti atrasamshaya. That anyone who at the time of death quits his body remembering me alone, being absorbed in devotional service, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. See? So don't worry about the current events. We should just be focusing on how to become pure devotees of Krishna. And so that at the end of this lifetime, we go back to Godhead. So I'll stop there. 8:30. Does anybody have any questions? Yeah. Mother Shyamapriya.
Hare Krishna, I was thinking as a result of your class that it would be so nice if we could quadruple or, you know, greatly multiply the points that are attributed to the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books in Arabic and in those languages of the people who are very disturbed and could actually disturb the whole world situation and usher in Kali Yuga more fast, that we should increase the points to increase the competitive nature of the devotees to want to distribute more books in these languages, the Arabic languages.
Well, you know, did you know they already have been increased? Arabic books are worth three times what English books are worth as far as book points go. If you distribute an Arabic Bhagavad Gita, it's either 3, 4, or 5 points. Where's Bhakti Kevin? Where does it? How many points? 12 times 12 times for the small books, and how about for Bhagavad Gita? 3 times. So they've done that. But you're right. Yeah, we need more Prabhupada's books in those languages distributed so those people can get the message. Hopefully that would help. Anybody else question? Sachit and Ori Prabhu. Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu. At the beginning of your class, you started by mentioning the disturbance of problems in the world happening in the Middle East. And at the end of your class, you were mentioning that actually, what is the point of getting absorbed in that, which will just get absorbed in Krishna consciousness, because there's no way to figure it out. That's correct, both things. But I was just thinking that as a, let's say, as someone who tries to outreach, and you are there in some place where with your table, and someone comes and asks you, this is a question, what is your view? He knows that you're a religious person. You have books there. You're propagating your message. And you're aware of what's happening there. Some of them from both sides can be claiming, you know, their religion. And they have a right. So what is your view about this in general, just of these things happening there? You as a Hare Krishna.
Yeah, well, okay. My honest response to that would be careful. Because it's rare that somebody comes up in a very innocent way and just innocently wants to know what you have to say. Most likely, and this has already happened to us about a half a dozen times in the last couple of weeks, most likely they're coming up and they're like a wolf in sheep's clothing. They have a hidden, they already have an opinion. They have a, they innocently approach like, hey, what do you guys think about? But they already got something in their head. And when you kind of say, if you say the wrong thing, then they're jumping on you. We've had that happen a few times already with people from the Islamic background, and you know, they would kind of, they bait you. They're just trying to bait you, and then they want to get into an argument, and that's, which is a waste of time. So be careful. That would be my, because you really want to see if you could figure out if that person's genuinely wanting to hear what you have to say, or if they're just trying to set you up to get into a debate and an argument, and even a fight. Yeah.
Thank you for the class and bringing up a hot topic and tying it to the philosophy really well. Being a young Sankirtan devotee, or young-ish, there's even younger devotees like the Bhaktas that are part of in India right now. But there is, it does feel like there's a pressure to like do something, you know, because now with like the internet and you know, LA being such a diaspora in these communities there, it does feel like there's this like force that's like trying to, that's like, hey, you're able, you're a Krishna conscious devotee. Why aren't you, you know, you should, you know, do something while you can, you know, because if like, let's say a catastrophe happens in my lifetime, then I'll, you know, like COVID, which is a kind of a reason I came back to Krishna consciousness, because like I was like seeing that whole unfold and being like, oh man, that sucks. If that ever happens again and I'm not doing something, then it's going to eat at me and, you know, affect my consciousness when I go. So if something bad does happen, like let's say like on our watch, right?
Yep.
You know, when Sri Prabhupada was here, I've heard devotees say like World War III didn't happen. You know, he was able to, you know, with Krishna consciousness spread so much goodwill that like things were good. But if something does happen, like I guess for young people on our watch,
yeah, okay,
wouldn't that be like
a
tragedy?
I can answer your question. I'll give you a two-part answer. If it's something that doesn't require an immediate response from you, you know, you're in some sort of situation where you're feeling like, you know, we need to respond, then seek counsel of senior devotees. Okay, because get some guidance rather than just kind of try to figure it out on your own and think, I'm going to do this. Seek counsel from senior devotees. If it's something that requires an immediate response from you, then better to err on the side of caution. To be conservative rather than do something kind of pretty radical and extreme. Better to just be conservative, because if you're making a mistake, it's better to make the mistake of underreacting, say, than overreacting and, you know, portraying Krishna consciousness in a bad light. That's, I mean, practically, that would be the advice I'd give you. So if you can, wait and seek counsel of senior devotees. And if you can't, then just, if you have to respond right at to that thing right at the moment, be conservative so you don't make a big mistake.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Gantraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
In a couple of weeks.